Hi, Denise. I wonder if you could just bring us up to date about your dad. So I'm gonna do this. It's up here. Okay?
So we know how. Good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for your prayers. My dad went to the emergency room at St. Francis on Tuesday, I think it was, and he just was in a really, really bad shape to the point we really didn't know if he was going to make it. But, you know, they admitted him and they determined that he had like his blood, his hemoglobin was so low, so they gave him blood transfusion and his numbers really weren't going up. So that wasn't looking good. And they said he had like very minimal blood. And so they needed to address like what, you know, is there internal bleeding and all of this. But long story short, over the past few days, thank God he has improved. He also had a lot of water retention in his legs because his heart is weakened and his lungs, and so everything's not working properly. But he actually, in a couple of days, he lost 50 pounds of water out of his legs. Wow. So, you know, with all the diuretics, so his legs are like normal again. So he was like having a really hard, like we were here for Christmas, he was having a really, really hard time getting around because he just, you know, it was creating immobility. But that, they're resolving that, and now, you know, they think he's stabilized, he's doing better, and they're going to be doing a procedure to kind of look at his heart and his valves and all of that. This, I think it's on Tuesday. A catheterization to just see what, you know, when he's in St. Francis, it's like one of the best heart hospitals, so thank God. And his cardiologist was the one that wanted him to go there. And so, you know, he's not out of the woods, but he definitely has improved. And, you know, my husband, Phil, was with him. He came earlier this week. I just got back to work after being off a week and a half after Christmas. And so I had so much to get done, but I said, why don't you go? And he had some really good time with him, times of prayer and just talking about things. And then I came in on Amtrak on Friday night from Washington. So anyway, so thank you for your prayers. And, you know, he's just continue to pray and believe and that, you know, his life will, not one day will be less than, you know, what God has ordained. The Lord says, every day, you know, of my life is written in your book before one of them came to be. So he knows. Each of our days are numbered, and so we're just praying that God's purposes will prevail. Thank you all. We love you. Oh, and my mom is just, she's resting today. I was supposed to come to church with her, but at the last minute, she's like, I just really feel like I need to lay down, and we're going to the hospital after this, so, and she's had shingles, and also, anyway, it's a lot. So I said, why don't you just rest, and I'll go. So, yeah.
Very good. Yes. Thank you. Thank you for that, Denise. So that you know how to pray. Amen. Okay. Is this clean water? Oh, thank you so much. No, you're going to give me dirty water, right? I meant, was this for the pastor? Right. Okay. Oh, Lord. You know, we made up a small bulletin, and I had them on a chair in the back. The chair has been moved, but our usher has it. Grab a bulletin before you leave, okay? There's information here that you need to know, and the hours of EHOP and days of EHOP are listed here. You know, that's the ministry here. So just grab one. And make sure, like every week, we'll have a bulletin. We're planning to have a bulletin every week now. So grab one. Oh, I thought you said something. I got some kind of an echo. All right. Would you stand with me, please? God is so awesome, so wonderful. What am I doing? All right. Barbara, would you pray over this word, please?
And Father, as our pastor delivers the word, Lord, let it not be her words, Father, but let it be your words, Father. And Lord God, let it bring life, Father, life to each and every one of us, Lord God. Father, for Lord God, your word says, Lord God, that we're fighting that fight. So, Father, we want to be in that fight, and we want to let you lead each one of us, Father, in the purposes of our life. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. God has been giving me two words for this season, and actually three, but actually four. But the two words that keep coming to me is wait and worship, okay? And I'll start there. And I think that what God, the Holy Spirit has been showing me is as we move into the days, the darkness that we're gonna be moving into, remember to wait upon the Lord and to stay in worship and the word. And the word, okay? That's the other one. The word. We have to carry the word within us for ourselves and for others. We have to have the word that is alive within us and comes out of us. And as the days grow darker, we need to have to hold on to the word of God, the promises of God. So it's very, very important. It is so essential right now, and as the time approaches, that we stay in the word, because the word builds up our faith and strengthens us. Amen. So people, men and women, get in the word. Get in the word. See the promises of God. Get, when you open up the word, it's opening up the Father's heart, and you're reading his heart. And it's so crucial and so essential. Remember that. And to wait upon the Lord. That God was giving me that word so strongly. They that wait upon the Lord shall be renewed. Amen. In strength. Right? And they will mount up. Because as the time grows darker, I keep repeating that because it's so important, we need to hold on. We need to know how to wait. We need to know the scriptures. So between waiting, because as we wait, God hears us waiting. Is actually, I believe, a sound that comes before the Lord when we're waiting upon him. It's actually a sound. I believe that. When we're praying, our prayers come before the Lord. I believe that, before the Father. But when we're waiting, okay, with faith, with the scriptures, faith is being built up inside of us. We are not waiting and trembling. We are the family of God. We are the great army of God. Amen. Amen? And we have to be strong. And we're going to see some horrible things, people. Times are going to get worse, people. But we have to remain to be the church and to bring a word forth. People, I mean, I know that when COVID hit, one of my neighbors said to me, I'm a wreck. And I couldn't even talk to her because she wouldn't even stay still and went out my door. I'm a wreck. I've had it. I've had enough. I can't take anymore. This is what we're going to see. But when we stand and our faith is coming through, I mean, faith just pouring out from our pores, from our very soul, people are going to say, what is it that you have? What is it? Why are you so strong? Why are you still smiling? Right? People will come. I think they're going to come and knock on our doorstep and say, you're always smiling even though you go through such trials. Even though there are tears, there's still strength. And they're going to want that strength. They're going to want that faith. They're going to come to us. And it's not a bad idea to prep a little bit for them too. But so it's so important. And I believe that the Lord was showing me it's the word to get to know God, the promises of God, and the word that strengthens us. And in waiting, God will keep us strong while we're waiting. As we're looking to him, we're waiting. He who waits, what happens to that person? He is strengthened. and he rises up. Amen? If you would open your Bibles with me to Isaiah 45. Okay, we're going to start at verse 2. Yes. We'll start at 1. Thus says the Lord to his anointed. Are you his anointed? To Cyrus, whose right hand I have held. Do you think God holds your hand? To subdue nations before him and loose the arm of kings, to open before him the double doors, so that the gates will not be shut. I will go before you, and the crooked places make straight. I will break in pieces the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron. I will give you treasures of darkness, I love that, and hidden riches of secret places, that you may know that I, the Lord, who called you by name, am the God of Israel. For Jacob, my servant's sake, and Israel, my elect, I have called you by your name. I have named you, though you have not known me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. There is no God beside me. I will gird you, though you have not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun to its setting that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create calamity. I, the Lord, will do all of these things. Now, I know that this was written for others. I know that this was written even for Israel, but I also know that as we read today, it is, how would I say, appropriate, or it is for you, it is for me, as we read it, it is for us also. It is truth, it is what God is doing. And here, God appears and says that I'm with you, right? I'll bring you through. I'm going to create calamity. I'm going to do that. I'm going to shake everything that can be shaken. But you, take a stand and know that I am with you. I will guide you. I will even hold your hand. And, you know, that means so much to me. These people that God was writing to was very obstinate people. And they were persistent in seeking foreign alliances rather than relying on God. And God was just pouring out the word through the prophets and trying to guide them, because he loves us so much and he doesn't give up. But do we do that? Do we rely on other sources for our happiness, for our strength? You know, we can say that there are idols. Amen? What if things became so topsy-turvy, like God came and pulled the rug out from under us? What would that be like for you? All of a sudden, each day is different. Something you never went before. Doesn't look like it has any end. And that rug is being pulled out from under you. How would we stand? Will we stand? You can stand upon the word, and only the word. No one can rob the word or rip it out of you. No one, no one, no one. And no one can do, even witches or people that do magic or whatever, no way, no way can they touch our faith. Can they touch the word? Can those scriptures that you have tucked away in your heart and they're in your soul, they cannot come near that. In Jesus' holy name, they cannot. They cannot rob you of your faith in God. They that wait upon the Lord shall be renewed. Amen. And faith strengthened and strengthened. So we have to wait. You know, I believe I see the church, I see the bride beginning to call Jesus, because we're beginning to see how horrible things are. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. And we know what the word says. So I believe that the bride is beginning to rise up and beginning to call the Lord to come back. But what if it's another 10 years? Or what if it's another 20 years? or whether maybe, what about if it's not in my generation, in the next generation? Maybe we'll be in our 90s or whatever. I believe that Jesus Christ is returning soon. But what if the next decade comes? What if? Are we going to still stand? Are we going to say, Jesus, where are you? I thought you would be here by now. Look at this and look at that. Where are you? Are you going to begin to doubt? Not if you have allowed the word to become life inside of your very members. It's the word, but there's an anointing in waiting. They that wait upon the Lord shall be renewed. So waiting, I don't like to wait. I really don't. I don't like to wait. It's hard. My flesh doesn't like it, but I'm learning. I'm beginning to learn how important it is to the Father. We see God's love. We see his righteousness through the Bible. And in order to keep the knowledge of his love and his righteousness alive within us, we must be in the Word of God. We know God's love because of the Word, because of his actions, because of the description of his love in the Word. But he is righteous. He's a righteous God. And yet we see in the Bible, he can destroy a city in a moment. Let's talk about God. Let's talk about him. In a moment. Amen? We've read that in the Word. God created time and space. He's full of glory and grace. The perfect revelation of the Lord. Let's just look into that a little bit in Psalm 19. I'm going to begin to read Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor knowledge where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven, and its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. Then it goes on to speak about the law of the Lord is perfect. We look at the heavens, and it is, you can't say that you don't see God. How could people look at a newborn baby and not see God? How can they see the faithfulness of the seasons and not see God? How can they look at us, the church, and not see God? God is self-existent, eternal. He possesses all power. He is just. He is loving. He is truthful. He is holy. He is forgiving. There are three divine persons who share the same nature. Moody said, God never made a promise that was too good to be true. God looks at your heart to bless you. God looks at your heart to bless you. He's a father, and he wants to bless his children. That's ongoing. He's a father. And he looks at our hearts. He knows what our heart's cry is. He knows the things that we need and the things that will make us happy. Amen? And as a father, with the love of Father, He looks at the heart to bless you. And everybody is a little bit different. That is why we have to give it all to Him, all the thanksgiving, all the glory. Amen? Yet the wrath of God will be revealed from heaven, the heavens we look at, and we see such beauty in the clouds. From the heaven will come the wrath of God against all godlessness, wickedness of people who suppress the truth. Jesus Christ is the truth. Amen? We need to share Him. By nature, we are children of wrath. It's the state we were born in. The word tells us His divine wrath hangs over us, unless, of course, it is taken away. Do you know God's wrath has come off of His children? It has been taken away. That's when we came to know and believe the Son of God, and we felt different. Something was taken off of us, and it was supernatural. Enemy wants to undo what God did for us. Can you remember when you first accepted the Lord? Didn't it feel like something came off of you? Heaviness, doubt, fear, confusion, anger, whatever came off of us. And all of a sudden you felt so much lighter. That's what God did. And we said, oh, the glory. Oh, His presence. Oh, His love. Oh, His forgiveness. Oh, His righteousness. Oh, the removal of heavy weights. Oh, the joy. Oh, the freedom. We need to keep all of that alive within us and walk in it. The glory, the presence, the love, the forgiveness, the righteousness, those heavy weights are gone. They're gone. We've been forgiven and selected, chosen. And all of a sudden, we understand the love of God. We just spoke about it before or heard about it before. But all of a sudden, we understand it. And all of this darkness came off of us, and we were free. Make sure in the days to come, we remain free. Oh, the truth, knowing that God's wrath was poured out on His Son, Jesus. What I deserved was poured out on Him at the cross. All of God's wrath, He had to do something with that wrath. And what did He choose to do? Pour it on His own dear Son. What I deserved came upon my Savior. And I was free. I am free to run. I am free to sing. I am free to enjoy every day. Because something has been lifted off of me. I am free to be free. Oh, the realization. Oh, Jesus. God's wrath was poured out on Jesus. He became the sacrifice for us. And we've heard this before, but we can never hear it enough. We can never look into it enough. We can never run out of levels of truth in this, which sets us free. The outpouring of God's wrath was on Jesus. The greatest act, the greatest demonstration of love this world has ever seen, was when God sacrificed His own Son. And Jesus opened the doors of heaven for us. Now we have to do our part to get ready for Jesus' return, to continue to cleanse ourselves by the washing of the Word. How long would you go without a bath, without a shower? Cleanse yourself with the Word. Also be cleansed and delivered from unhealed wounds. We all have wounds. We all do. fathers that hurt us, maybe mothers, different situations. We all have hurts. We all have wounds. But it is time that the church is completely healed and can rise above that. And even thank God, because we are who we are today in Him because of what He allowed us to go through. Did you hear me? And get rid of the wounds. Because when we're wounded people, and there's so many wounded people in the church today, and you know what happens? Anything easily can come between them and even the Lord, or them and another person, because they've been wounded and not healed, so they're sensitive. And unhealed wounds makes us want to protect ourselves. Do you understand what I'm saying? We're not open enough to even put our minds on another person. Or unhealed wounds cause us to be too sensitive. Unhealed wounds could cause us to be prideful and even hurt others out of the hurt that is in us that hasn't been healed. We must remember, never forget, all God has done for us. Scripture about His hands. There's a scripture that says that He spread the heavens with His hands. He actually spread the heavens out with His hands. And God was just showing me that, you know, what God did and what God is going to be doing, wonderful, miraculous things. As dark as the world is going to get, you're going to grow brighter. Because what does it say in Isaiah 60? The deep, deep darkness, but the light rises upon you. Amen? Let's get ready for it. The names of God in the Old Testament, such as Elohim or Jehovah, El Shaddai, Adonai, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nissi, all of these beautiful Jehovah Tsidkenu, Jehovah Rohi? All of that, I just want to touch on what those names are just quickly. The one who creates, the revealing one, the Lord God Almighty, more than enough, master, and we are bond slaves. The unchangeable one, the provider, He who meets our needs, Jehovah who satisfies, Jehovah my banner. I am that I am. The Lord is peace. Jehovah our righteousness. Jehovah my shepherd. The Most High God, Mighty One. In Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 5, it says, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell safely." This is what we have to look forward to. Now, this is the name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness, which entails all of the goodness of God. We will be safe and secure, and we will reign with him. Amen? Here, it will be a new earth, new heavens and a new earth. But this is what we have to keep our eyes on and meditate every single day. If you want to be strong in the Lord and stay strong, you have to meditate. What other thoughts come into our heads? What? A bunch of junk? Come on. A bunch of junk. This one and that one and what's going on and how I can't take it anymore, and right? But this is what we have to meditate on, because this is our daily bread. This is our food to keep us strong and healthy in mind, body, soul, and spirit. So listen, the word warns us not to be worn out in the days to come, not to get worn out, but to be strong to the end. We don't know all that will happen. We can, and Jesus told his guys, you know, brothers, look, this is what's going to happen. And you know, in Matthew 24 and 25, you know, right? This will happen. We can't pray it away. But we can be filled with the Holy Spirit. We can be filled with a glorious anointing. We can be filled with an anointing that breaks yokes. We can experience true happiness in those days. Because what we, when we think we're happy, oh, everything is going okay. But we can experience true happiness when everything is not going okay because of the Prince of Peace. God will distribute, he will rain down peace upon us that surpasses any and all understanding. And that's what I'm looking for. And that's what I keep my eyes on. I try to keep my eyes on. So it's the word and it's waiting. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength and they will rise up. Amen? So the word tells us not to be worn out, but to be strong to the end. Don't know all that will happen. And we may feel exhausted. Maybe we're going to feel weary at times, but don't grow weary. Don't stay there. Concentrate and meditate on God's goodness. Study God's goodness and receive it in the morning for that day and walk in God's goodness. There's life. There's life in the Word of God. Amen. The work of your enemy is to cause you, to cause me, to grow weary. Hold on to the end and wait for the Lord. I just want to read some scriptures. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 40. Some of the most encouraging scriptures are in Isaiah chapter 40. What a mighty God we serve. What a wonderful, wonderful Savior. What a beautiful plan God has laid out before us. Isaiah 40, verses 25. I'll start at 25. We're talking about God, right? To whom then will you liken me? Or to whom shall I be equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high. And see who has created these things, who brings out their host by number. Again, the heavens. He calls them all by name, by the greatness of his might and the strength of his power. Not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the heavens and the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak. Hello? He gives power to the weak. He gives power to the weak. He gives power to the weak. To those who have no might, he increases strength. Glory to God. That is my promise. It is your promise. As the days grow darker, he gives power to the weak. If we weaken, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. There is a glorious truth about waiting on God. And it's something that we have to discover and rediscover over and over and over again. Are you waiting for something? Of course you are. We're all waiting for something. But the greatest thing we can wait for is the Lord's return. Amen? Amen. And do you know that God has extra strength and extra glory and extra blessings for those who wait? We have to learn to wait on the Lord. When we wait on the Lord, you put your eyes on him and you're fixed. That's how we wait. We see the Lord. We see God the Father. We see Holy Spirit. And we know who they are. And we know the power that they are unleashing towards us, giving us, and departing inside of us. And we wait on the Lord. And we wait on the scriptures because that is, like I said, they are God's heart. We wait and with our eyes on him, not on our eyes on what is going on around us. That's not waiting. That's not waiting. The bride is fixed on her bridegroom. Her eyes will not be removed from him. And in those days, there will be such a mighty anointing on the bride of Christ as she waits. Wait upon the Lord. God is the Holy One. Now listen, we are responsible to discern the greatness of our Creator. We are responsible to discern the greatness of our Creator. We are responsible to see his greatness. That cannot be denied. And that is where our heart and our eyes and our soul has to be upon the greatness of God. Even though things may feel like, where is God? You know, others may be saying, where is he? But why is he? It's too much now. No, God knows the limitations of what he can allow. And to fix our eyes on his greatness. People, if you're not reading the word every day, every day, every day, you're not ready. Have you not known God is not only everlasting, transcendent over time, but also the creator of the ends of the earth? Transcendent over space. He is omnipotent, all-powerful, supreme, not subject to physical limitations as man is. He neither faints nor is weary. He meets the needs of his people. The Lord will never let his people down. He gives power to the weak. We just read that. Wait, people. We must wait on the Lord with confidence, expectation, and trust. In the darkest of days, with active hope in the Lord. The Lord gives power to those who trust in him. He is the one who spread out the heavens with his hands. I can't imagine what that is. How great is our God? He stretched out the heavens with his hands. We've got to get a bigger opinion or a bigger picture of who God really is. He is in control. When everything seems like it's going out of control, he is in control 100%. Wait, people. We must wait on the Lord with confident expectation and trust in the darkest of days with active hope in the Lord. The Lord gives power to those who trust in him. I just want to also go, we'll be closing soon, but in Psalm 103, I was talking about his hands. And I just want to go there for a minute. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction. We're going to see miracles, people. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. Holy fear. Holy fear. If he could completely dissolve a land, Sodom and Gomorrah, in a moment's time, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from him, from us. As a father pities his children, the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone. And in its place remembers it no more. And its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him. And his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his host, you ministers of his, who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Now the day will grow dark and darker and darker, but what will we fear? Should be nothing but the Lord. Stepping away from God, because he is God Almighty. He is the one above everything, and he has everything in his control. There have been people that have cursed God and died. Bless God and live. Amen. Remember, God is all powerful, but also tender toward you, tender toward his children. You may feel you can't go on, but God sees you and is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we ask, above all we ask and think. When we think we can't take it anymore, he knows you can. Hello, did you hear me? When we think we absolutely can't take it anymore, he knows you can. And he comes in to gird you, to uphold you, to raise you up. Let's just turn to Isaiah 40, 12. I love this scripture. It says, who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? Again, the hands. The hands spread out the heavens. And he has measured the water in the hollow of his hands. How big are his hands? How big are his hands? It's unimaginable, isn't it? This is the God, the great God that we serve. The God that said, come here, you. You're mine. I'm going to open up your eyes. I'm calling you to come close to me. I'm going to heal you. I'm going to allow you to know me. I'm going to allow you to feel my love and my forgiveness. I'm going to allow you to see my miracles. I'm going to allow you to look into my heart. I'm looking into yours. I'm going to allow you to look into mine because he loves us. An indescribable love. A love that we can't fathom. But as we get closer to God, he drops more love inside of our hearts. More love and more love and more love. And people cannot deny the truth when we speak in love. They may act like they deny it, but deep down inside, love does not fail. Amen? So here, he measured the waters in the hollow of his hand. You know, I read a story the other day of a little boy that was going on a trip with his family, and he was so afraid to get on that plane. And he was crying and crying and crying, and he was trying to run away. And the pilot went to him. Somebody must have told the pilot. And the pilot went to him, and he said, I'm the one that's going to fly this plane. I'm a pilot. I went to school, and he started to tell him, and the plane is going to lift you up and me up, and I know how to land a plane, and you know what, I do it this way, and then I know this, and he just started to describing what he does and who he was, and the little boy got on the plane, it's a true story, and sat down with his mommy and daddy, and he said, I'm not afraid anymore. Because that man told me it's going to be all right. And he's the pilot. Cute story, right? And God is telling you, it's going to be all right. You may have to go for a ride. May even be a little rough. But it's going to be all right. Because I'm the pilot. God is big enough. He has measured the water in the hollow of his hands. Psalm 25. Sometimes we have to sit with the pilot when we get scared. Verse 1 and 2, 3. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Indeed, no one who waits on you will be ashamed. Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause. But waiting on the Lord is so very important. So important. He's going to raise us up. He's going to cover us. And as I said before, he keeps his eyes on those that are waiting on him. To you, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. I trust in you, the word is saying. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Let no one who waits on you be ashamed, and they will not be. And you know, that's the secret. That's the answer. We need to learn to wait on the Lord. We're going to be waiting on him. And you already are for so many different things. God is delighted as you are putting all your desires on him and you're waiting. He hears our hearts, people. So we need to learn to wait and even see yourself, you know, as the days go on, and see yourself waiting on the Lord with great expectation. Hold on to the scriptures and wait. Hold on to his word. His promises, every single one, are yes, yes, and amen. And those that wait upon the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Stand with me, please. Haiti, would you lead us in prayer?
Father God, help us through your Holy Spirit and your power to do the things that we need to do, Father God, to stand when we have to stand for others, Father God, to pray for others, to lift them up. Our mission is to bring others to Christ, dear God. Prepare us and teach us and show us that we may go forward, Lord, and do the work that you have commissioned for us to do. You have put aside some people that they will come to us, Father God. And those people that you have chosen for us to minister to, Father God, to bring them to Christ, that you would bring them to us and prepare us, Father, for what is coming, Father God. In the name of Jesus, we ask that you bless every man, woman, and child in this church, dear Lord, that they may feel the power of the Holy Spirit, that they may know you, Father God, that they know who they are in Christ and be lifted up with faith and power and authority, that we may know the authority we have to go against the enemy and bind him and submit him into the abyss and then save our children, Father God, for our children are being lost because some of us, not all of us, Father God, but some of us don't understand the power that the Lord has given us to save our families, Father God, to protect our children, Heavenly Father, and not only our children, Father, but the children down here in the church, in the little school downstairs, Father God, the children that are our neighbors, Father God, those children, the Lord has commissioned us to pray for them, even though we really don't know them, but we see them, Father God. Protect us and be with us this week, dear Lord, and forgive us, Father God. Forgive us if we offended you, Father God. Forgive us for our sins and wash us and cleanse us in your precious blood in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Lord. Thank you so much, O God. Thank you for hearing that prayer, God, in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. I wanted to invite you all. Tomorrow is Pastor Diane's birthday. So we have some cake and coffee in the cafe. If you'd love to come in and join us and just wish her a happy birthday and bless her. So just join us in the cafe. I'm not going to add anything to what she said because it's perfect. Amen. We love you all, and we'd love to see you inside. God bless.
My strong rock.
My rock and my fortress.
Fairer than the children of men.
The rock that is higher than I.
The rock of my strength.
The rock of habitation.